For folks who don't know, the Free State Project is a movement of voluntary human action where we are trying to concentrate libertarians in the state of New Hampshire.
The Free State Project, again, it's 1% of the Free State movement.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, libertarians, anarchists, movers, natives, and those on your way, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Free State Live. We get to hear about all the different ways you can live free and thrive in the free state of New Hampshire. First and foremost, time to get everybody here, though. As always, I'm Justin O'Donnell, former libertarian candidate for U.S. Senate and author of Live Free and Thrive, 101 Reasons Liberty Lives in New Hampshire. Joining me tonight, as always, everybody's favorite internet family guy and keyboard warrior, Kevin from the internet. How are you, Kevin?
Oh, good, good. I'm still pondering the bear, man. I wonder if he fixed the cone because that's just, he's used to seeing the cone that way, or if he was like, you know, I'm just going to do this voluntary action. I don't know.
He's just picking up the slack for his union co-workers.
It could be that. It's probably that.
Yeah, and also joining us tonight, we do have a change of pace. I mean, short staff tonight, but we got to fill in. We got star of the episode we're reviewing, as well as kind of a recent new mover and new friend here in Manchester. We got Nick Renford. How are you, Nick?
I'm doing swell. Thanks for having me.
So you've been here almost a year now, right? 6 weeks?
It's coming up on a year for Porkfest. Oh, yeah. I got here at Porkfest last year.
Yeah, kind of the star of the whole series, like to an extent. Like, you're in a bunch of episodes. It was cool to see.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. I didn't expect to see myself so much.
Hey.
I mean, you did have to. I had to go through deliberate efforts to be in there as little as I was. I'm so distrusting of corporate media. And even after months of talking to Shira and Dan, I was still like, no, camera's over there. I'll go over the other room. You had to be pretty deliberate to talk to him.
Yeah, I was a little skeptical at first, but actually after getting to talk to him for a few minutes, it was pretty clear that they at least were friendly, right? Like, they were
at least fair.
Yeah, they weren't trying to like write some evil hit piece on us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Insofar as that's how it turned out. Well, we'll jump right into it. Nick, format we go. We are watching the episodes. This week we are on to episode 3 and just, you know, commenting, filling the gaps. This episode's largely about you and your move and your time here in Manchester. So, I mean, maybe open up, fill in some gaps, maybe comment on their editing choices or anything they might have left out that you want to fill people in on as well as taking some questions from the chat. But let's jump right into it.
Pots and pans need a home too.
How long did it take you to unpack?
How long have I been here? About a year.
I was going to say, tell me a year.
I still have not decided where everything's going to go, but I figured at least the pantry stuff I know is going to go in here.
I actually intentionally left the pantry boxes unpacked because they said they were coming and they're like, we'd love to get some footage of you unpacking. And I'm like, perfect. The pantry is like, I know where those things go. A lot of the other stuff was like, I'll figure out where it goes as I live here.
It's a good plan.
This is a must-have accessory if you do not have one. My grandma sent me some wild rice in a bag, but all I have to do is cook, so I might cook that later. Slowly but surely, we're getting there. I think once I'm all unpacked, it'll be feeling pretty nice. Measuring cup. I was born in Minnesota. Lived there for most of my life. I moved to Denver for a few years. I moved with another friend out to Washington State, and I was there for about a year, and then I moved to Las Vegas, and I was there for about 6 months, and then I was like, you know, I've been thinking about this Free State thing for a while, so if I'm gonna move again, why not now?
So where did you first hear about the Free State Project thing?
I think when I was in Denver, a friend had linked me the site, and I'm like, well, that's kind of cool. But I was, you know, one of the people, I'm like, I don't know if I can commit to moving in 5 years, so I'm not going to sign it. I don't think I might have at some point, but I was a little worried about being misleading or committing, so I don't think I ended up signing.
Most libertarians are just afraid of being on a list.
Yeah, that's the number one risk.
I'm sure I'm on plenty of lists, so that wasn't my concern.
Well, you're on the documentary, so I'm sure there's something that a lot of people are watching, so who knows. Yeah. But I remember you were still in Vegas. Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah. I like this little opening bit, too.
Yeah, it's a good intro. It was all well produced.
Here is the casa. I'm a gaming fan, so it's a growing collection. And then here we got the kitchen. There's a few bedrooms upstairs. Other than that, that's pretty much the place, other than the creepy murder basement. It's nice to be home. It's like, okay, oh, this is home now. I found my people.
I moved to New Hampshire for the Free State Project. I sold all my stuff that didn't fit in my car, drove out here. Best decision I ever made. Should have moved here sooner.
I had been living at the time in the early 2000s in Albany, New York.
2014, I moved to New Hampshire.
Every day, de Blasio was giving me more reasons to leave. I knew I had to leave, so by 2017, we finally made the move here, and best decision ever.
I found out about the Free State Project when I was 16 years old. I signed the statement of intent at that time.
So a lot of people move for different reasons. One comes up a lot. Anytime we're talking to somebody who's preparing to move or thinking about their move is, did you have a job before you arrived? Did you get one before after coming? Or like, do you work remote? Like, what was it your situation that made it easy to move? Because I know it's a big issue for a lot of people. And even when we do calling parties and call out, people are like, I'm still looking for work.
Yeah, for me, it was pretty easy because I work remote. So I've actually worked with the same company while I was in Washington, Las Vegas, and now New Hampshire. So I've been all across the nation with the same company. So it was pretty easy for me to all I really had to do was just go on Zillow and like find a listing and like, all right, that place meets my needs. Decent budget. Let's go.
And no income tax.
And no income tax. Though, interestingly, Washington State and Las Vegas, no income tax. I think Washington now has like a payroll tax, which is
it's the rest of them too. It's overall we get you, we swing back and get them. So
yeah, well they introduced it's like a paid family medical leave or something like paid family leave, something like that. You know, it's a.
And as we saw during the lockdowns, some states were trying to force companies with remote employees to tax them even remotely. They were so when Massachusetts and New Hampshire actually had an ongoing lawsuit over it.
Yeah, Mass sued New Hampshire
because New Hampshire was saying, no, you can't tax our citizens if they're working remotely in New Hampshire.
Yeah, because that's silly.
You'd think.
Yeah,
I really want to try to experience being free in the short life that I have.
There is actually hope. You know, that you don't have to live in what I call the authoritarian 49 and be miserable and be surrounded by people who hate you. No one knows the future, and it's really hard to know the future. You can instead move here and be amongst people who actually appreciate your ethics.
Liberty kind of binds us all together, but once you're here, sometimes you wind up just kind of living a regular life.
There are a lot of great reasons to live in New Hampshire. It's a beautiful place. We have a great deal of liberty here. I hope they move here for those reasons and not necessarily to eliminate government here.
A lot of people want to believe that the government loves them and protects them and cares for them.
My name is Dave Breger, a.k.a. Silver Dave.
I'm sorry,
hello,
Dave.
And welcome to the Silver Pool in Ware, New Hampshire. Come on in. We have some fractional silver and fractional gold.
Alternate currency is huge out here in New Hampshire, especially with the Free Staters.
I dedicated myself to the idea of making silver that people could use to exchange between each other to buy goods and services.
A lot of places around here, they'll take cryptos, precious metals, gold bags, silver.
We're at the Independence Inn in Stratford, New Hampshire. But now we have a Bitcoin ATM in the lobby.
Alternate currencies. A lot of folks out here are trying to escape the dollar.
People can buy gold backs. We have ones, fives, tens, 25s, and 50 gold back notes.
I think that's a really undervalued thing for people right now, escaping the dollar. I mean, if you're not watching the news, it seems like not a week has gone by in the last 2 months where another bank hasn't gone under and been absorbed and consolidated into JP Morgan. Like, they're talking about a central bank digital currency where they can control people's money, and even government getting their hands in crypto to an extent and regulating crypto to the point it can't be used. But tangible physical metal, they can't control.
Yeah. Thing. Yeah. It's all, it's what's coming, man.
So we're just, I saw somebody decentralized crypto too.
Yeah. I saw somebody posting from El Salvador today. They tried to take $100 out of an ATM and it was a $20 fee.
What a deal.
No, I haven't seen one that
the Bitcoin fee has been so hammered. So.
Yeah, the worst I've seen for an ATM fee was at a casino in Vegas, and it was like $12 or $15, and I'm like, that's insane.
Well, this was a Bitcoin ATM.
Oh, a Bitcoin ATM. Oh, okay. I was talking regular ATM, but still,
yeah, $20 fee for a $100 transaction because of the issues with Bitcoin's network right now.
That's crazy. Because,
you know, governments have gotten so involved in regulating it that it's no longer usable for microtransactions.
Victoria Berger, my wife and I own Apple Knockers. Goldbacks are alternative barter currency, and they are real gold, so they'll always have value. Even if goldback doesn't exist anymore, you can melt this down and you'll have that gold. One goldback is worth about $3.60, very thin amount of gold that's laminated in here. I know that they're becoming more popular in the Liberty community, and I want to attract people to come into my store.
Escaping the dollar is big because monetary control is a big way in which the government controls us.
The past few years, the interest in divisible barter silver has increased.
Oh yeah, you're not gonna use them at McDonald's or Subway. If I go out to like Tap Room Tuesdays, I'd be like, hey, you wanna pick up my bill and I'll give you some gold backs? That's how you escape very peacefully.
I think they later got a shot of the government Pat and myself doing exactly that. We were out at Tap Room Tuesday, and I was like, hey, I'll give you gold backs. Yeah. Pick up my tab.
No, nobody's even talking about these crazy silverback things.
Oh, yeah.
It's because they're not really making them. I saw them.
I don't know where they're worth. They just showed up in my mailbox one day. I got silverbacks. So.
Yeah, I don't. They're not really making them. I saw them at Liberty Forum, and I was like, that's cool. You know, yeah. I don't want to buy one. He's like, nah, this is just for me. They're not mass producing them.
And look, we don't care about your worthless paper. You know, we've got something else that we value.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I wasn't always Silver Dave. Back in 2008, I was in Afghanistan with the Army Special Forces. I believed that I was going to defend freedom and liberty. I was awarded the Green Beret and a Special Forces tab. And then I went to a Special Forces team, and I saw all the different governments were in Afghanistan, and they were wasting huge amounts of money. The war is not for freedom and liberty at all. It's for definitely something else. I'm not anti-American. I'm just anti-murdering, lying, and stealing.
I can almost joke that he wasn't always Silver Dave. He used to be Oil Dave.
Their momentum Dave's comes awesome. From the Free State yeah. philosophy. Reduce government, reduce budgets, reduce services.
Do you feel they need to be stopped?
Absolutely. But they're very patient. They have an agenda all over the state to infiltrate government from the town levels all the way down to school boards, up through the New Hampshire House, up to the governor's office.
You shouldn't have to worry about having the rug pulled out underneath you. They're not transparent with people about who they are, what they believe in. And then they seek to make these really drastic changes that harm communities.
The thought of living in a world that is actually dominated by a libertarian philosophy is pretty terrifying to me.
The Free Staters have continued to move here. I don't see that changing. I see that we will have more libertarians moving into New Hampshire.
I'm Chris Lopez. My official title is Moving Director for the Free State Project. I moved to New Hampshire in 2004 to be a part of the Free State Project. 2011, I became paralyzed. I fell 15 feet off a balcony. The community 100% paid for this wheelchair. They came together with money, boom, boom, boom. You do not believe what kind of magic is happening here. Whoa.
That is like cool? The coolest contraption I've ever seen.
It is something,
when
man.
Somebody is ready awesome. To make that move. I pass it on to the community, and the community shows up. Everybody's moving stuff, and it's like, wow, it's happening so fast.
It feels surreal. I'm really excited.
To Chris's point in the chat, and everybody loves Chris Lopez.
Yeah, I was going to say, universally love wheelchair. Chris Lopez.
She's taller than me with the wheelchair somehow.
Not me.
But Xandra says we're hiding, we're not honest, we're not open about who we are. The very fact that anyone was willing to sit down for this documentary with mainstream media just kind of says that's a total lie.
Yeah, it took me like 7 or 8 beers before I sat down and agreed to talk to him. But I mean, we'll definitely sit down and talk to him. Like anybody. I talk to people all the time, certainly people that don't like us or don't or think we're crazy or those ideas. I have the good conversations with those people.
Sure.
All
the time. It took you 7, 8 beers. I had to like vet them for months before I agreed to let them in the door. But then there's like Carla Garrick. He's like, oh, there's a camera. I'm going to talk to it.
Yeah, some people are good.
That was almost my approach too. I saw him recording Carla's speech at Porkfest, and I was like, because I'd seen a few people with cameras going around, so I was like, oh, I wonder who are they? Like, are they doing it as a personal project? Are they doing it for some company? So I just went up and said hi, and then they're like, oh hey, they saw my mover badge, and they're like, hey, can we do an interview with you?
Ah, that's perfect.
I guess.
Very part thankful. Of it is good. Despite everything, you still have people here willing to help. Hey man, how's it going? Hey.
To have a job where
yeah, these welcome wagons. Holy crap! I gotta say, woo, good job on Chris for like organizing these, and props to everyone who shows up. Like I got here and I had a U-Haul full of crap, and I was like, I just you know I can unbox it myself, but getting it inside is just gonna be a huge pain, especially because I had movers like load it, so it was all packed tight and whatnot. So
you could pay movers thousands of dollars to take an entire day to unpack a truck, or you could get a couple pizzas and a case of beer and see 12 free staters do it in an hour,
right? And then you got new friends you're hanging out with. It's really an amazing thing.
Many hands
come to New Hampshire to move to New Hampshire. I'm connecting them with other people in the community. That's like so meaningful for me.
I came to New Hampshire to be part of Liberty.
I think that they see that this is real, you know, a real community. This is a real project. This is really happening.
When you feel really alone because you're a person who sees things a certain way and other people, they don't want to see it. Suddenly you find a whole bunch of other people that see it that way too. I almost cried just right now, just thinking about it.
I used to be a real estate agent in Las Vegas, Nevada in the early 2000s, late 1990s, and heard about the Free State Project, and it really spoke to me. So I moved out to New Hampshire because of the Free State Project in 2007, decided to start my own brokerage. I chose the name Porcupine Real Estate because the porcupine is the mascot of the Free State Project. It's also a gentle creature who just wants to be left alone. It's not going to harm anybody, but you don't want to mess with it. So it's sort of the leave your neighbors alone, leave us alone type of attitude. And it's really stuck, particularly with my individual clientele, who are almost entirely liberty-minded people. They like that we speak the same language. So when they come to me and say, Mark, I want a property where I can shoot and grow my own food and have chickens and build my house without a permit, I don't look at them like they're crazy.
Without a permit, that's the hard one.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So I've always joked, you can always have chickens. It's whether or not you're allowed to.
Sure.
I remember when Nashua was discussing their zoning ordinance a few years back to lift the prohibition on backyard chickens inside the city limits. A whole bunch of people showed up to testify. They're like, what do you mean I'm not allowed to have chickens? Like, you've never been allowed to have chickens. Like, I got 12.
Ugh. Yeah, yeah. That sounds like something someone from my family would definitely do. It's be like, wait, what? I got a farm. What are you talking about? I didn't know you couldn't do this. I'd just keep it under a tarp in the back behind the trees. Like,
yeah, I met one guy who had converted his garage into a chicken coop and built so they could go outside into his backyard and free range.
Clever.
In his yard. And they never left the property. And he had it for 10 years, he said, and he never knew that he wasn't allowed to have them until the city started talking about making it legal.
That's kind of funny, but it also goes to show kind of the culture here in New Hampshire that it is generally liberty-minded, and people are like, wait, you mean I'm not supposed to?
Yeah.
Like, what the heck? But also, like, no one really cares.
Nobody told me before.
Yeah, right. Like, they just kind of assume that they can do it because, you know, we're free people in a free country, in a free state.
Well, like, plus your neighbors didn't call the police on you or be like, that guy has a chicken, I saw it, like, get him. You know, most, you're not bothering anybody.
Your neighbor's not going to call the cops on you if you're giving them free eggs.
Well, you're being respectful, and, like, if you're doing it the right way, like, hey, that's how you should be doing it. And if you're in a city or something like Nashua, Manchester, sure.
Yeah. Our agents not only are real estate agents, but they're also Free State Project participants and movers and activists themselves.
I met Mark when I first moved here, and he's like, I'm too busy. I need agents. And I'd already passed my real estate exam in Alaska. So I was like, okay, I'll go get licensed. Actually, that was my first apartment right there. Third floor right there. The rent was $900 a month when I moved here in 2014. A little house in a neighborhood in Manchester. It's very late 80s, early 90s. Yeah. Kind of reminds me of a double wide. The basic libertarian principle is you don't hurt people and you don't take their stuff. And I'm like, but to me, that's not enough. You also succeed in life when you're helping others. One of the problems with Porcupine Real Estate is you want to be best friends with everyone you meet. I want lifelong customers, and especially as Porcupine Real Estate, like, we're building a community. These are the same folks I'm going to see at a potluck next week.
Liberty! It's our third annual Fall Festival as a client appreciation event and to attract new people to New Hampshire to visit for the first time. First 500, 600.
And that's another crazy thing. Every week I tell everybody, go check the Free State Project calendar for, like, your list of crazy events that Kevin's tried to do all of them and couldn't. But, like, burn yourself out getting to know everybody doing all the things. It's a super fun and great way to meet people and get involved. All these events are put on mostly not by the Free State Project, but by people like Mark Warden and Porcupine Real Estate, and yes, Constance now with Independence Real Estate, and all these other private groups and private actors that are furthering the cause of liberty and building the community around the Free State Project, not so much the organization itself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I had a buddy, after I sent him the link to this docuseries, he texted me a little bit later. He's like, so do you guys, like, pay dues, or like, how does that work? And I'm like, no, it's just, we're a bunch of volunteer, you know, like, you volunteer where you want, where you can, you know, and you engage as much as you choose to, right? I mean,
oh yeah, but even, like, over the winter, like, in terms of, like, private stuff, like, we're, me and Nick were out throwing axes at a place, like, up the way, like, you know, just there's a ton of stuff going on that's way past the calendar, or, you know, you have to find the super secret calendar, or, you know, the esoteric calendar group of people and those types of things. But there's, I mean, 10 times the amount of stuff that you see is going on, like, an abundance of stuff.
I remember one time I went and looked at the Free State Project calendar, and it was like the first time in months where there was a day with no events listed on that calendar.
Oh, yeah.
And wild, like, right?
And so then I went and checked the calendars for, like, the clubhouses and the private groups, and they were all packed with invite only private events that weren't being publicly advertised. But, like, there's the Free State Project calendar is really just the tip of the iceberg of community events in this state.
Yeah.
Most of us have made the move. Most of us were single. I've been really impressed with the number of families that have moved out here.
Now everybody make your best impression of a porcupine.
It's really been an amazing migration.
I want life to have more opportunities and more freedom for everyone. And I think it's here. So this is what I do.
Here's where I do most of my leisure time. Then, of course, where I check the FSP calendar for what's going on. We do taproom Tuesdays. Every Tuesday, a bunch of Free Staters will show up to a particular bar and just hang out and socialize for a while. I think it's like 30 or 40 people every week that set up a huge, long mega table.
That's not a pine, that's a spruce.
It's always a big decision to decide to move somewhere, but it's more of a show, don't tell thing. I mean, look around. We're all here together, you know, and we're off having our separate conversations and all that. But, like, we're all here as part of a community. This is just a fraction of us.
My name's Kevin Haley. I'm a native of New Hampshire. I was a teacher in the state. I worked with kids my whole life, and I'm an Eagle Scout. I'm here to move the needle of liberty a little forward. We do Taproom Tuesday every week. It's a good event. These two guys, I recruited both of them to move.
I was a communist.
slowly my views started to change a little bit. And for a very long time, I was very like, no, I'm not a libertarian. I'm not, because they were always put out to be these like crazy, kooky type of people. And then I was like, you know what? I am. Why not? Who cares? Like, it's my life, you know?
You're my the next generation that I'm bringing into the fold. Both of these guys jumping into the Discord server were immediately like, I want to move, and here's my timeline. And immediately we create a whole community of people that are there to, hey, here's where you can work. Here's apartment listings. Here's job listings. Here's homes. Whatever you need is immediately provided. And it's the quickest, easiest way to get people in. And that's what I do as an old man now, is try to get younger people to move.
You guys like my NSA t-shirt?
That's good.
A point, I did see, I just saw Olga in the chat. I had brought it up. There were like 9 events this weekend in one day alone, to the point where Saturday, I know I saw Olga around lunchtime at one of my own events, and then she was having her own event later that evening. So like, people do run the gambit of the calendar and just hop around from event to event because you can. I burn out after one a day myself, but power to everyone else.
The crossover is real.
Yeah, and we got a ton of like little sub communities, right? Like we got the magic community, and we've got the knitting community, and we've got like all these little groups that, you know, sort of semi open, right? They're not exclusive, but it's like, you know, you just, oh, you're in the knitting group. Oh, that sounds interesting. Maybe I'll join that.
Oh yeah, it's the once you're here and you start making those connections, and that's the key to like something like Liberty Forum or Porkfest, or like visiting a few times, or something like the Discord server where you start to build the network, work in progress. Like you start to build the network of people, so that whether you're already here or you're in the process of moving or whatever, like when you land here, or like you did by being online and finding a bunch of people from Discord and then into Signal groups, and then, oh, this is my hobby and my interest. Oh, we have a group for that here. Let me send you a link or an invite to this group of guys. And very quickly, that way, when you land or if you're already here, it connects you with.
And even branching outside of the community,
huge,
too.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
Like me and Nick, we play in a gaming group where we play Magic and card games and whatnot. We have a guy that we play with from time to time who has been in our group for years. And still to this day, we'll say, well, like, oh, you guys probably just think I'm a leftist. I'm not really a libertarian. But like over the past years, like he's become more and more and more libertarian just hanging out with us, to the point where like it's a joking point for me now. I'm like, dude, you don't get it. Like you're one of us at this point. Like, and he's still clinging to the I'm more of a leftist. I'm like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
So it's a good way to bring him in.
Yeah.
But then it is true though, like in terms of community, it's the hobbies, the interests, and like building that social network of people so that you're doing something. You're, you know, whether it's on the calendar or not, it's like you're doing something.
Right.
There's a lot going on. So
get off your freedom and they want it. But a lot of people, they like the state and they like someone telling them what to do and how to live.
Ever since 2020, we've seen a big increase in people moving here from other states, particularly about locking down with the mask rules, with the jabs.
Most of the people in this room today moved during COVID. We're at the Shell, which is a libertarian clubhouse here in Rawlingsford, New Hampshire. No matter how crazy it was in the outside world, we could come to the Shell. It became a refuge, people from all over the area.
A lot of these people that believe in the ideas of freedom and self-autonomy, they feel like they're the only people where they live that believe in that. They feel alone. We're welcoming them home, but it's a very emotional thing for a lot of them because there's just nothing else like that anywhere else.
You know,
a lot of these people left behind.
That's kind of an interesting point he made, because I actually didn't realize how more or less alone I felt as a libertarian until I moved here, and I'm like, holy crap, I have like 1,000 people that I can like hang out with, and we
one of Xandra Rice Hawkins' most consistent insults or kind of arguments she tries to throw out against us is that we're a minority viewpoint, and we were a super minority where we came from, and that's why we're all moving to get together. And every time she spouts that, I'm like, yeah, no, that's shit.
That's why we're coming together.
Yeah, that's all the whole idea. Like the central thesis to the thing is what you're describing. We agree.
Now, I've had some arguments with some libertarians in Florida, Texas, Alabama, other Kentucky, other states, who they're always like, we need a free state project in every state. And I'm like, how did Sandra Rice Hawkins get it more than you do?
Yeah, sure. Right.
Yeah. It's actually kind of funny. Like, as an example, so I was working at back in when I lived in Denver, I was working for a very, corporate clothing company, on one of their websites, because I'm a software engeneer. And so, we're in an office with a bunch of nerds, right? A bunch of office workers. It's not retail, right? Very woke, very, very woke workplace. And so I was sitting next to one of my coworkers, he's pretty libertarian, for sure. And, we're like the only two people we know of. And one day, one of his buddies came over to chat in the cube, and he saw at the time I had a leftist tears mug that was kind of my silent rebellion in this woke workplace. And he comes over to talk to my buddy Eric, and then he sees that he's like, is that your leftist tears? Whose mug is that? I'm like, oh, that one's mine. And so we actually got to know each other pretty well. Great guy. And he told me later that after that conversation, he went back to one of his other buddies that, they're more conservative, right, than libertarian. Right. But he goes back. He's like, I found another one. Holy crap. And to this day, he still won't tell me who it was. That's how bad it was.
That's an industry. Like software engineers, you almost have a disproportionate representation of libertarians in that industry. Mm-hmm. And you're still finding
that job.
You.
Yeah.
We had the purple-haired crazies. In the first couple weeks I was there, we had a conversation in Slack about how we need to ban the word blacklist because it's racist.
No.
Listen, quite I'm woke. Not saying you're all libertarian. I'm just saying you're disproportionately represented in the industry. It's like, I sometimes feel like software engineering is kind of like the extremes of the bell curve. Is where you end up landing in that industry?
Yeah, it's, maybe.
At work, I'm up to five people who I have found because it's my face on here and my name, and I post my face and my kid and stuff on Twitter or whatever, that have come up to me and said, like, hey, man, like, I've been working here for 20 years. Like, I have no idea. Like, this is, you're crazy, not that I'm crazy, but you're I can't believe you talk about some of these things in the open or the way that you do. Like, and I can defend my position on these things. It's very easy, but it's, people in like line to get a sandwich are like, I watched you on the Free State Live podcast. I'm like, oh, all right, man. That's, they pop out of the woodworks from time to time. So you gotta just keep going. That's the best.
I had somebody reply to one of my tweets earlier today with like, let us know how it goes when the cops are at your front door. And I'm like, five times in the last 2.5 years.
Yeah.
I'm still here.
My wife
families who might not have understood the ideas of freedom.
Every Thursday, we are just packed with new people, new movers, potential movers. People are finally realizing that where they lived mattered.
What really appealed to me was the motto, I really believe it, liberty in our lifetime. I really don't think there's another good opportunity where we can experience any other project that has a likely outcome of achieving freedom.
Several thousand people have moved already, and thousands more are on the way over the next 5-10 years, who knows how many. And the point is, let's have a home together. I know there's a movement of people interested in secession from the Union, and let's just not be part of the US anymore. Certainly an interesting discussion, but I mean, if that takes place, then that's certainly another boot that we can take off of our necks.
They were asking me about secession. I'm like, I don't know what I want to say because I'm not really sold either way on it. So, Well, it's an interesting discussion, right? So let's leave it at that.
We get up to great discussions about it all the time. There's an interesting balance. I've had some wicked good conversations about it, like perspectives I didn't have and things I hadn't thought about. So very interesting. I'm more of a nullification guy.
Every time secession comes up, I do have to point out, like, it's not an across-the-board Free Stater-endorsed idea, where there's Free Staters on both sides of that, in good faith, vehement. And when the bill to put it on the ballot was discussed in the House last year, Free Staters made up almost the entirety of people testifying on both sides.
Yeah. Give you the for and against.
Yeah.
So,
It's not a monolith, but it's still, even after disagreeing on politics like that, we all went out to the bar down the street together to get lunch.
Yeah.
Which you don't see Republicans and Democrats doing anymore. We're in a world where people have split up their families and disowned their children over their political beliefs.
Well, unless they're in Congress, of course.
Yeah.
Well, funny how it works once you get all that money.
The one unexplained question from the episode, Nick, that everyone has is, what the hell is your murder basement?
Oh, yeah. This was awesome. This is, if there's one thing from this whole arc of this docuseries, the murder basement had me on the ground rolling laughing. It was one of the funniest things.
It's the only thing in the entire docuseries that took on a life of its own.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So I didn't look super hard for a place to live. Like, I didn't have a lot of like requirements, right? It's like, it'd be nice if I could have a garage, but if I don't, whatever. Like, it'd be nice if I, whatever, right? As long as it was in the decent area, decent budget, whatever. And so I got here, and it's a house, and the basement is mad creepy. Like, I've seen some creepy basements, but like, holy smokes, man. It is like, I know I'm in a horror movie if I ever have to go into that basement, because it is like dank and there's spider webs and it's totally unfinished. The insulation is falling from the ceiling. There's this random slab of concrete. Like, it's dirt, and then there's just a piece of concrete. Like, why?
That's where the body is, dude.
Yeah, that's where the body is. That's what I'm saying. So it was creepy. And then I had an electrician come by because I was having some problems the other day. And like, he's about to go down the stairs, and the top stair, like, whoosh, like, basically just crumbled under his foot and nearly killed the guy. Like, dude, this basement is already trying to kill people. It's creepy.
It's great. Well, immediately someone created a Free State Murder Basement Twitter account and a few other spots. I don't know if they joined the Discord with that, but
I don't know. But you know what? If you run that Twitter account, or you know who does, maybe, I don't, like, if you want to stay anonymous, that's fine. I don't care. But get in contact with like Justin or Kevin or someone, and I can send you some photos that you can put on there. Because right now it's my face, which feels wrong for a murder basement. I thought it would be about the basement rather than me.
Oh, no. I've been in contact with the murder basement account owner. It is not me. But I have talked.
You know
to them.
Who it is?
Oh, I know who it is. I'll tell you. I'll tell you later.
Okay. Because I got some photos.
That's hilarious. And another great point. Your only interest is because you have more murder basement photos you want to share.
Yeah, right. I think it's hilarious.
It's wicked funny. That was a really entertaining art.
I didn't think they'd keep that clip in there.
Yeah, that was wicked. It was hilarious. When I saw that, that was funny. And like, it played on itself, you know, a funny inside joke. But
well, it's also a good transition point. Just speaking from like an art and film perspective here, I always go back to this, but Jerry Seinfeld had a stand-up special that he did where he retired his old material. And so he did like a 2.5-hour special where he went through all of his best and greatest material and said, I will never tell any of these jokes again. And what Hallmark, what it's best known for, is the hard, unrelenting, and just non sequitur transitions he did throughout the entire set, where he would just end on something that wait, what the hell did he just say? Moving on.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that's why it was so funny, right? It's just like, except for the creepy murder basement. Cut to the next.
Leave that unsaid. That's perfect. And then you have to watch this to find out that there is literally, like, in your murder basement, a dirt floor with a concrete slab mysteriously placed, which leads me to believe you have a murder basement. So that's cool.
Yeah, and you think maybe the concrete would be where, like, the water heater and whatever is? Nope.
Just a pentagram.
Yeah, there's this weird, like, chalk marking. And is that, it's colored liquid? Kind of red looking.
That's great. Nope, that's on the seacoast. You have to go to the America Stonehenge to see the sacrificial table. So. That is over there. You can check it out. Oh, yeah, that's a real thing. Look it up.
Well, maybe I will. compared to the murder case.
Thanks for joining us tonight. This has been fun. Great review of this episode. And it really is one of my favorite episodes. It's one of the most positive, just forward. Like, even the haters and the critics in the episode kind of were cheerleading and championing our cause and making the points for us and what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, they don't get it.
So they don't get it, but they get it better than some people on the internet, which is the crazy part. But it's been great, and thanks to everyone for tuning in. Remember, if you want to learn more about the Free State Project, FSP.org, you can always come check it out. Porkfest is only 6 weeks away. There's not many tickets left. I don't know the situation on campsites at the moment. But get your tickets now. Figure out where you're going to stay. It's the best time of year to visit, or just do what Nick did and make it your move.
You just move. Actually, interestingly enough, there is one of the people I met at Porkfest last year, and he's come visit a couple of times since then. I'm like, you gotta move out here. Tell you what, here's your goal: move by Porkfest. And so he's like, all right, that's my plan now. Like, I just don't want to have to go back to Wisconsin after Porkfest.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in Wisconsin. I mean, you're the only people who can't complain about the weather.
Yeah,
that's true. So,
and again, check out that calendar, fsb.org/calendar. As I say, Kevin's tried to do it all. You can't do it all, but there's something to do every day, everywhere in the state, more than you could possibly imagine. The most jam-packed Liberty Events calendar in the world. And Kevin and Nick can give you the pitch.
Hey, join the Discord server. I'm in there every day, like I was today. Although today, I'm sorry for the voice chat. We have meetings. We do important things. Lots of changes coming. 3 new movers in the last 2 weeks in the Discord. People planning to move by Porkfest, and a ton of people from Discord coming to Porkfest. They have their own thing. And if you need a tent site, if you can't find something, jump in there and we can help you. It's just a great aggregator of information, if nothing else. So post if what you're looking for, and someone will help you find it.
And if you are planning to move,
Discord hub at Porkfest.
Yeah, Discord hub. Actually, Nick, you're help running that whole thing. So
yeah, I'm somewhat. Well, I'm organizing a couple events. I'm not doing the whole thing.
You're doing more than me. So that's
good. Yeah. So we'll
on that
we'll,
side.
We've got Magic. We'll do Smash Bros. Dive Kick. There's probably going to be a few other ones. We're still putting events on the calendar.
Oh yeah, probably some D&D. I think.
We might do a D&D night if we can find someone to be the DM.
We'll see. Yeah, my brother's coming up for 3 days, and he'll probably run a game or two. So,
Olga, can join the Discord by going to discord.gg/FSP. Hit up these guys. Join it. They're nonsense. I tried to join it. I couldn't keep up with it. It was information overload for me. But also, if you guys are planning to move at Porkfest, before Porkfest, after Porkfest, anytime, and you're going to need help unpacking, get in touch with Chris Lopez for the Welcome Wagon.
Help
make sure that there are people there to help you unpack, move in, and meet your first friends. And like we said, all we ask is pizza and beer. So,
or even just pizza.
Faster than you could imagine. And if you guys want to support the Free State Project, come in here. Everything is volunteer. Nothing's official. But if you want to support the missions that are going on, Free State Project doesn't shy away from voluntary donations. And it is a 501c3 charitable nonprofit, which means your donations are tax deductible. It means giving them to the Free State Project is better than letting Uncle Sam spend them on what you don't want. All right.
It makes sense.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on. Thanks for Justin for putting it all together.
Oh, yeah. And I haven't made the banner for this yet, but Chris is reminding me in chat I need to. If you want to get a call at our next calling party and you want to talk to somebody on the phone, go to fsp.org/call me, sign up for that calling list, and get on the phone with somebody and talk about what any questions you might have with people who are here and doing it in real time. But hey, until next time, everybody, be free.
I don't believe in destiny, I just do what's best for me. Don't listen to my enemies, they're just full of jealousy. Yeah, this legacy, you gon' see what's left of me. You gon' see success in me. You
ain't seen the rest. I just wanna be the best at what I know. Better than the rest, just watch me grow. Put me to the test and watch me go. This is my quest, I'ma make it known. They call me obsessive, oh I know. Call me selective.